There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Green flag. The Daytona 500 is underway. Corey LaJoie, the leader, third-generation racer.
LaJoie to the top spot at Daytona.
How about Corey LaJoie holding tight on that outside line to Chili's car, man?
Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, the top five Daytona 500 edition of Stack of Pennies is coming right up. Buckle up. It's going to be a show.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Welcome to Nonsense Garage, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Corey LaJoie, driver of the number 7 Chevy Camaro, top 5 finisher, top 4 finisher, to be exact. Joined by my good buddy, Ryan Flores, front tire changer of Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang. We got a lot to talk about, buddy.
We didn't finish anything. won the second stage.
You did?
That was about it.
He said I wasn't going to work with any teammates, and he did not.
Well.
Going for it.
He got frustrated in the middle of the race.
At what?
We all pitted, and we didn't pit on that first caution, and then they all pitted together.
Got flipped.
They didn't wait on them. They just left them. Mm. I think there's a lot of time when you're driving around Daytona by yourself to get mad.
Oh, my God.
And he was steaming.
Feels like you're driving a petty school car when you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, and then the pack comes by, and you probably get even more mad. It was not good. But, hey, top five for you.
Yeah, big day. What I like is that, like, nobody is, like, popping champagne bottles on the plane anymore. You know, back in the day, we'd run good at Atlanta and, you know, have a solid day here or there, and we'd be, like, really happy. Now, granted, I was happy. Very happy because it's a lot of work, a lot of preparation, and a lot of time invested, especially just during the week, but you spend all winter thinking about the 500. And
you're happy about the bonus, man.
Absolutely.
Don't break my chain.
A lot of pennies were stacked.
Let's go.
A lot of pennies were stacked for not only myself, but for our number 7 Spire Motorsports team.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything more for a sponsor than we did for Chili's this week.
Dude.
I did everything. I legitimately shook hands. I even kissed a baby. I shit you not.
And you went to dinner at Chili's during the rainout.
We went to
off the record. We actually went to Chili's and ate dinner
on Sunday. We did, because you know what? They gave me the Chili's Platinum card. This is a titanium. Listen to that.
Ooh,
a Chili's Platinum. This is before the top five.
I'll tell you this:
I need a Chili's Black card for finishing top five.
We went to Chili's with that card, and when he gave it to him, it almost shut the store down. They were like, "We don't know. hold on. Who's this guy? We don't know what's going on."
But there was an appearance on Saturday at the Chili's in Ormond Beach, and I was making margaritas. I was bringing out chips and salsa. I was legitimately, there was a line of probably 200, 250 people there. Some woman gave me her baby to take a picture with, not like a 3-year-old, like a 6-week-old baby, little nugget. Named Brayden, by the way. So just a really busy weekend, and to cap it all off, we got us top five.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. But you know, you wake up in the morning, right? We fly home, kids are exhausted. We land at about midnight, 12:30, and the kids are just melting down by the time we get them home, and they sleep in a little bit. You do our comp meeting at 9:30. So I'm breezing through Fox News just to like see the coverage on that national outlet of what the race was. And it wasn't William Byron, and it wasn't Hendrick finishes 1-2. It was Austin Cindric has choice words for his competitor. I said, let me see what this reads. And sure enough, it goes back to his quote with Bob Pockers in the video he made, congratulating me for a top 4, which I really appreciate that, because he should. I worked hard for that. So if we rewind a little bit, this is the moment in which he had some choice words for that I didn't feel like were worth. Here we go. I get a big run. Ross Chastain's to my right rear corner at the time, so I can't go. So he leaves that entire car with, kind of throws a lazy block, and he said that I wrecked him. You can clearly see the Melon Man hung a left off of his right front tire and drug them down into the grass. If we run it back, there it is. I don't know what to do for you there. It's the last lap. You're coming to the white. The 16 was pushing me really hard. I was trying to drag brake, but that hole opened up. I kind of filled it, but I didn't wreck him. And then the one tried to make that move for the win, and it ripped his right front tire off, and they went through the grass, and caution came out after we crossed start the white. Now I understand. I understand that in the moment, it's just hectic, and you feel like you're getting pushed too hard and this and that, and you probably haven't even seen the tape. But clearly, his race was ended, and his finish was impeded by the one trying to make the bold move down to the bottom to go under the 24, and it didn't work out for either of them. Hate it for him.
Beef, dude. Beef early in the season. Why you got to start beef with my guy?
What guy?
I mean,
he didn't play kickball last year, man. One less kickball for me.
I brought something. It's been burning a hole in my pocket. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Why you got to start beef with my guy, man?
I see that flex. For those of you that aren't watching on YouTube, he whipped out his Daytona 500 ring that he won with Austin Cindric. And good, man. Hey, that's what's kept
him
around.
The best is the old school.
I don't want to go down this.
The best is the old school quote from you. Yeah, we're not friends.
We're not.
Just like what? Like, there's no more to say. And I like that because, like, I think we're in a world, we got to do a world where, like, everybody be like, well, you know, and they try to explain it, right? And my Camaro was good today, and they just get this long-winded answer where it's like, yeah, man, we're not friends. He left the hole.
Well,
done.
Hang on. Let me rewind. So we talk about the very ending, right? Everybody watched the outcome. Everybody's texting me, hey, congratulations. Appreciate all that. But your position to put yourself in is made like 20 laps before that. Granted, there was a 15 car pileup, and we'll get into this in a second, but you're sitting there under the red flag as they're just trying to sweep off the carnage and parts and pieces of whatever's left over. And you are running through, I ran through probably seven scenarios. Okay, I'm 14th, 15th. If we restart now, I'm going to do the top because you got more options.
You were 15th on the last restart?
No.
Okay.
I was sitting there under the red flag 15th, but there was guys that slid their tires, had a little damage, there were some guys short on fuel. So after they all peeled off, I was 7th.
Good spot.
Four guys chose the top, giving me 3rd on the inside, which I was like, sweet. But I was kind of thinking, okay, if I'm 8th to 10th, you go to the top because you got more options. But if you're in the top 5 or 6, you got to go bottom because – That's the lane tightens up, and you just push like hell, and you just hope your lane.
You
just
get a row too, right? Yeah. 7th, you're jumping a row
for sure. And also, I knew that everybody also had the same plan. If you go to the top, you're trying to make a 3rd line work, right? You don't have any patience. Soon as somebody jumps up there to get it going, you're going to lose a couple numbers, and it's going to break up that middle row, and the bottom lane's going to surge. So I was in the top 3 there, super happy about my spot. We all 3 got a good restart. The 16, AJ Allmendinger was pushing me, and we kind of surged. And then, as you see, nobody's lifting, but my belts, Dwayne The Rock Johnson could not have reached in my window and tightened my belts up any more than I was tightened up. I mean, the entire time when they said to fire him up before that red flag, I was like, like just wrenching them, bro, because you know that the only time you're going to lift after that is you're either in the ambulance or at the start finish line. Those are the two options.
You need like the old sprint car with the ratchet on them.
The old hooker harnesses. Yeah. I don't think I could have used a crowbar and got them any tighter.
Really?
I mean, I'm talking wrenching.
Just Hans device digging into your.
Oh, yeah. You give it a couple extra little tuggies to make sure it's on there.
Oh, man. So you run through all these scenarios, right?
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time. Did any of them work out the way you thought they were going to?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I was running a lot of scenarios of going to the top. You know, who'd your help? Zane Smith was behind me. Figured he'd go with me. We can maybe make a 3rd lane work. And I got to thinking about that. And after all thinking about it, it was 10 minutes of just like going through all the million different ways and blocks and this and that. I was like, okay, everybody else is thinking the exact same thing. So the bottom's going to prevail because the top's not going to be tight because guys are going to try to go to third lane. And that's actually, that's exactly what happened. William Byron was leading that line. The two and myself were pushing them. And I don't know. It was just a – it was a hell of an ending. Wish it ended up under green, but it's the world we live in.
Well, when you pick the bottom, it's like you have a safety net because the double yellow line, if you guard that, nobody can go below it.
Correct.
And that's where it looked like Austin kind of got – a little bit lazy off of four and like can't shear it off the line a little bit. And you went to fill it because yeah. you're like, hey, if I get that spot, we're put him in the middle, then you're leading that bottom lane.
Yeah.
And it looked like he got a little sideways to me, like with clear eyes. He got a little sideways and he had a bad angle when you got to the tri-oval. Like he was pointing a little bit the wrong way when Ross was coming the same way. If Ross doesn't make that move,
then we all kind of live for another day.
He straightened back out. Like you let him straighten. Yeah. You didn't just drive through him.
No.
But that move that Ross made is the same move that won Blaney the race in Talladega, where you kind of go from to
it's
the second car
on
the top lane to clearing the bottom, and then you get clear of the 24. So you had to take that run because, like you said, you want to be in the best spot you can when you take the white because you're that's like we saw where you're probably going to finish.
Next flag ends it. So yeah, I mean that was the move Ross tried to take to win the race. Unfortunately, he was about 16 inches too short.
We were pitted next to those guys. I wish them luck as we loaded up. A lot of good guys on that team.
Yeah,
I thought they were going to win it, but
so did the other eight guys that were in contention with the last green white checker.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Ross was super aggressive. You know who was really aggressive all weekend, and I wonder if it's getting to be like a cloud that hangs over his head going there is Brad.
I'll tell you what, dude. There's a couple things you don't want to be. You don't be a weatherman in Daytona, and you damn sure don't want to be off the front bumper, Brad Keselowski.
John Hunter Nemechek learned that on lap.
Jesus.
Half. Jeez Louise.
His oil wasn't even warmed up yet.
I watched it because, like, where we are on pit road, it's hard to see, and it was, like, a big screen. So I, like, looked up and just saw John Hunter. Like, it looked like he hooked a left, and I'm like, felt bad for Harrison.
Brad on his left rear tire.
Well, I felt bad for Harrison because I'm like, damn, the 21 guys, like, they've been working hard and – you know, they're really looking to turn stuff around, and you see him wreck, like, the first three laps of the Daytona 500. Like, oh, brutal.
Tough. That is a demoralizing way to start the season.
A great way to put it. And it's like, you almost got caught up in that.
No, I was plenty good. Now, unfortunately, for the seventh-time champ, he was right with me, and I don't know if he was late to find the brake pedal. I think that he didn't anticipate these guys coming back up in traffic. So here I am, right next to my good friend Jimmy Johnson, and he was trying to shoot the gap. The 77 slides in front of him and just pokes that thing in the fence a little bit.
Dude, what? Hold the phone here. I forgot to tell you this.
Tell me.
So the 77 ends up in our, like, pit stall in the grass, right?
Uh-huh.
Wrecked. There's no more fluid left in this thing.
Yeah.
It's all leaked on the ground, right? And they're like, they pull him out of the grass to tow him.
Yeah.
And he's like, rum, 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 fires it up. And they're like, hey, we're going to tow you. And he's like, no. Right? And he, like, gets it running and, like, moves everybody out of the way. He never gets out, right? Like, I'm going to keep going. And it's like, when you see fluid coming out of the front end, you're done. You can't fix it.
Do you end up?
So he, like, I forgot. You got to talk to your teammate, bro.
I won't be. The Hendrick Engine Shop, I'm sure.
No, but he, like, so the best is he gets, like, all the, like, okay, so all the tow truck guys are like, okay, and like, get out of the way. And he, like, backs down pit road, like, bah, 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 and then backs into the grass again and gets stuck again.
Oh, no.
Like, 30 or 40 feet down, and we're all sitting there like, what's this guy doing?
Oh, no.
So then they, like, walk down there, drag him out of the grass again, and then finally, like, get out of the car. Because he, like, fired it back up, and they're like, you are done, sir.
No.
You've had enough. And we were all sitting there because, like, because pit road's closed and they're waiting to clean it up before they can open it. I'm like,
it's tough.
Oh, this kid, that's bad tough. First look, bro.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, hey, I get it. Gung ho, ready to go. Had a top 10 starting spot, and your day got ended on lap 5. I don't blame them for trying to just give all there was left to get.
No, I'm not done. No, you're done.
No, you're pretty done. No, I'm not done. I'm not done. It looks like you're pretty done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hate it for him. Not how he was expecting his first Daytona 500 to go. It's tough. It'll bite you.
Dude.
There is an infinite, not even like a very large number. There is an infinite amount of ways you can not win this race. There's only one way to do it, to win it. And I haven't figured that out yet, but it seems as though you just got to be perfect.
Well, back to your point earlier, like when I got home or when I, dude, end of the race, like it was a brutal day because we had to move all of our pit boxes. So like we moved all our pit boxes because the Xfinity race was next. So I didn't even get to see the end. So I just looked at the scoring pylon and I was trying to figure out like, where's Corey at? So you were fourth and I'm like, oh, he's got a shot because it said 199.
Mm.
And I didn't know that they'd come back around. And then I saw the 24 doing Brown. I was like, damn it, Corey didn't win. And everybody's like, oh, Corey finished fourth. And I'm like, yeah, he's finished fourth here before.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Ain't doing it for me anymore.
No, it's great. It's good.
It's good.
But like, you got a shot to win it. And how much of that did you, how much did you and TJ learn from the truck race? Because I would say the truck race was
an experiment.
No, I would say it was a letdown.
Oh, for sure. We had a absolute rocket ship.
Almost too fast on restarts.
Ever since I've driven the Chili's car at Daytona, everybody's asking me, what is your Chili's flavor? All right, guys, listen up, because I have the all-time, the official Corey LaJoy Chili's food list. And it's going to start with some chicken fajitas. It's also going to go with some chicken crispers with ranch. We're going to go, I don't know, the old-timer probably is going to fit somewhere there. The Southwestern egg rolls, as long as they come with ranch. Now, that's not all, because then you have the chips and salsa. You have to eat not one, not two, but three baskets of chips, probably the skillet, probably also with some ranch. Just keep the ranch coming and right on down to Chili's.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We had a run that only Dale Earnhardt would dream of.
I know,
we
yeah.
went from legitimately the last truck to the lead, top of three wide.
So we talked about it in length on Saturday.
It's unbelievable.
But
so, but that, to tell you how much we were taking it serious, right? We felt like we collectively gave it up, or we had a truck plenty good enough to win, and we didn't.
Missed opportunity.
We had a very large missed opportunity. So TJ Bell was at my bus Monday morning before the race, and we were just going through that end of the race.
Shout out to TJ, whose wife was in labor.
Literally, TJ Bell, my spotter, had a baby in the first stage. I knew he was
not him. His wife had a baby. It'd be tough to give birth and spot at the same time.
It would be.
And we got a healthy baby boy. Well, hot damn. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
T-Bell had another baby. First stage. He had a busy first stage.
Hey.
That's right. We're going to wait to name him until after this thing.
Harley Bell sounds pretty good, buddy.
Damn, four.
Well, if they're listening back home, hey.
I don't know if Callie would have been down for Harley J. Bell, but I think it's a great name. Unfortunately for us, I don't know. A kid named Harley J. Bell would have just been a stud. But Banks Bell, welcome. Congrats to TJ and Callie Bell.
Oh.
I knew he wanted to be there, but he also wanted to help guide that seven to victory lane, and we got close. But it all comes from a lot of hard work because we also felt like we left some things on the table on Thursday night after the duel. So we were just going to go in there, watch the end of the truck race, go back. Okay, what do you see here? What do you call here? What do I need to hear? And how I process information. And we tightened a lot of things up, and I think we were guarding lanes, we were blocking lanes top and bottom. We led for, I don't know, 15 laps maybe. So I feel like all that stuff paid dividends on Sunday, and we're getting closer.
Dude.
You know, we've just been stacking pennies.
Well, nobody was surprised to see a seven running up front.
Yeah.
Like, you drove up there, led, Denny pulled the Denny move on you. You stayed up there. Like, it was – that's why – I mean, I was – when everybody wrecked and I saw that you were still going, I'm like, dang, he's got a shot.
So, I did get sunned I got sunned by Kyle Busch. He pulled like an old man, like, you know how like the old man's at the blacktop at the basketball court, like they're not faster. They like they look a little weird, but they just have their basketball IQ will just cross you up. You don't even know where the ball's at. So when Denny passed me, it was him, me, and the eight. And I was tight behind Denny. Kyle saw that, and he starts dragging me. So I'm in my mirror, I see the eight like favoring to the right off of two and off of four and off of triable, like every corner, about 4 or 5 feet. So I start covering it, right? And then after about 4 or 5 laps, he's still doing the same thing, favoring out, favoring out, favoring out. So now I'm like, okay, this is what he's doing. This is like kind of the flow we're in. 11's doing it. He backed up into one and two, gets a run, and I didn't even look in my mirror, and he shot the middle.
He's going high.
He's going low.
He's going low.
Son of a- He got me. Like, he got me with my pants down. I'm like, damn it.
And then everybody go with him?
That, yeah.
So he hung you?
Yeah, that's when I got shuffled. So then.
Thanks a lot, Kyle.
Well, he taught me something, because I was like, oh, that's some old dog stuff.
Last
right
time
there.
I like any of his dancing videos on Instagram, Samantha makes him do. Done with that.
So learn something there. But then, so that almost, that. Set up that has set us up almost for success because we got shuffled. We came down for the last pit stop, which is kind of where you make your bed to lay in for the rest of the day. We only came in with the two colleague cars and our teammates.
I saw
Zane.
That. You guys pitted early.
So since I was out front, this is how like small the windows are for how hard it is to win the 500. Since I was out front leading for 15 extra laps, I had, let's just say, 3/4 of an extra second of fuel I needed to take at the pit stop. So we come down with the colleague cars. We all come in tight. The 71 and myself needed to take 8/10 a second worth more gas. So we leave the pits 6 car lengths back.
Yeah.
Him and I both individually, he was further back than I was, lose the draft, and now we're running around single cars.
So you didn't wait for him?
No. So he picked up a couple other cars behind him.
Okay.
So
would it have been faster for you to wait on him initially?
I don't know.
That's like because that's where Blaney got mad at the beginning of the race because those three, there was three or four, there was two Penske cars, two Roush cars, and he was like, are they going to wait on me? Because we didn't pit that first go around, so we had like 2 extra seconds of gas. He's like, are they going to wait on me or no? And they're like, nope.
Yep.
And he was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But they were like, well, we couldn't wait on you. I guess that's what was said later, but it was like, my question was like,
Well, generally,
over a 40 lap run, is one more car in your group, what's it worth, or is it not worth the hit at the front end?
It's not worth the hit on the front end. But if you have good guys that are working together, you can stagger. So if you have like 3 cars, you're waiting on a fourth,
fan out.
You just fan out, yeah. Right, and let that guy get the big.
That's what Fito would be saying. They're fanning. All right, they're going.
Yeah. So, we happen to be, since just we needed to take 8/10 extra more fuel, we were on the opposite side of the racetrack from when the wreck happened, right? So if you look back, rewind the tape 2 years, Ricky Stenhouse sped on the last pit stop. When they piled them all up in turn one, he was on the other side of the racetrack. So that's where a little bit of luck comes into play, right? You can control the lanes and you can lead laps, but when there's a wreck with 8 to go and you're by yourself putting around and you get to restart, in our case, 7th, sometimes you need a little help.
Yeah, but the least amount of cautions in 20 years, only 5 cautions. So, like, do you know what's coming?
No.
Right? You don't?
I'm sitting there riding, like, legitimately. Like, so I was leading the lane with me, Zane, some other guys. There was, like, I don't know, 10 to go. I'm like, please wreck. Please wreck. And they're like, oh, they're going to. Please wreck.
Saying some weird Malunkio, some voodoo stuff. Like,
booga booga. And then they all pile them up. And I just cruised by. I'm like, yes. Like this.
Well,
like
this where you got lucky is that all the front runners wrecked, right?
For sure.
Because if they wreck from 15th on back, you're still buried.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like perfect. Okay, this worked out. But that's what it needs to be. It needs to be like, okay, it's not. I mean, okay, luck's the word you're going to use, but it's like, okay, it's worked out for us. This is working in our favor.
Yeah, let's take advantage.
How do we take advantage of it?
That's right.
Well, Byron, what it looked like is the 48 gave him a bad push and hooked the 6 and.
Oh, they. Well, the 48 was just pushing. I was surprised 24 got out of shape as much as he did. But then he bounced off the side of the, who was it, the 6?
Yeah, maybe it straightened back out.
This is like the one instance where Joey gets wrecked and it wasn't any of his doing.
Well, yeah. I mean,
he's like up the third lane, mind his own business, and just gets walloped.
Oh, frick. But so like that's where I thought we were done. Like I thought the 12, like because we went way back. We were leading. We won the second stage. We're leading. And the next thing I look up, we're like, I'm cleaning my socket. We're like 30th. It's like, uh-oh. Well, then, okay, Fords are going to pit. So then he starts making some hay on the bottom. Well, we're making hay on the bottom. Then everybody jams the bottom because we're all going to pit. And where Blaney made a championship bro move was getting the pit road. He, like, weaseled his way in there and got, like, four or five cars, like, on the flat, mm-hmm. wedged himself in between the 10 and the 14. And that, we jumped, like, five or six cars on that pit cycle. I'm like, okay, hey,
yeah, now you're
we're
not,
here,
now you're not.
Right? And then he's like right behind the 22, boop, 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 one more, 22 dips out, he's behind the six. Now you're behind the six, who like, okay, we can pass him. The 22, if you're behind him, you're going to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, we got a shot here. We're going to be in good shape. And then
that thing bang, is an bang, absolute bang. Rocket ship, bro.
All the house cars, though. Yeah. Like everybody's, Hendrick cars.
Denny's car Gibbs was cars. A rocket. The 20 car was a rocket.
But, like, listen, is it consistently that Denny's car is a rocket ship or that Denny is really good at speedway racing?
Both.
Yep. Takes at least stack a little bit of pennies everywhere.
That's it. No, I mean, it's not a coincidence. Same guys find their way at the front, right? People want to say that's luck, but there's a reason why people keep betting on me as a long shot and keep cashing in top five checks every speedway, right? We put a lot of work into it. And there is a certain flow of the race. There is a certain way you can execute and put yourself in less risky opportunities. And it's worked out for us. Knock on wood, we'll keep this thing trucking. You know what I thought was one of the coolest things off the racetrack?
What's that?
Is that the fella who might be the most recognizable person in the world weathered the storm with all the race fans and came back on Monday.
Let's go.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson was there, and he was fired up. He comes walking in. We're in the driver's meeting, and, like, you see his aura before you even see that big man, right? Then you see his shined-up tan head.
That's what I was
wearing. He was wearing a NASCAR – or it wasn't a NASCAR. It was like a USFL jacket. And he had those pythons covered up. Ooh. I did not know what was sitting underneath that jacket because he goes out on stage in front of our men and women of the armed forces, and he rips that jacket off, and those things were juiced up.
America. And in the proud spirit of our great country, finally, The Rock says, drivers,
well, third person,
start your engines!
I saw him. I ended up behind him by accident. He's big.
Big fella. Yeah. It's a big fella. And how do you even make your arms that big?
A lot of working out, I reckon.
I reckon.
It's funny that he wore his jacket all day, but then when it was time to be on TV.
Oh, Showtime.
Let him
bro.
Out, baby.
Yeah, Showtime.
Let him out. One of the greatest entertainers of our generation. So
and he was there hanging out with us.
It was cool. And even through the rain delay, like DJ Khaled was there. And dude, like, there's a lot of people that still showed up on Monday, hey. which you're not surprised. It's the freaking Daytona 500, dude.
NASCAR's getting cool again, man.
NASCAR, it's not that Don't it's cool now. Again. It's been cool.
It's cool for the other fellas that didn't think it was cool.
Well,
it's always been cool to us.
The one video that kept getting sent to me was that, I don't know his name, but he had the 22. He had like a 22 jacket on. He's like, these NASCAR folks, I have never been more drunk in my life. Like he's dressed in full 22 gear, jacket, shirt. And he's like one of those 2 million follower on Instagram viral guys. And he's just, I don't know who he was, but if 10 people didn't send it to me, one didn't. And it was hilarious. He's like, I have seen stuff that I've never dreamt of. But it was, dude, that's what race.
Daytona 500 is
race, but even each race weekend's that much fun, I think.
Oh, so one quick story. So on Sunday when it was raining, I was like, what? I don't want to just, I am absolutely done being cooped up in the bus. Levi and I just went to the playground, pouring down rain, playing soccer. I just had to get out of the bus.
Yes.
So I texted the team. I said, hey, do we have some Chili's gift cards? I can just jump on the golf cart and like go hand out to some fans. Yeah, sure. We'll be there in an hour. So they all come, and we get on the golf cart, and we're cruising around. We went to, like, that red 38 tent that was just packed in there with people just turning up on a rainy Sunday. Passed out a couple of Chili's gift cards there. Not my metal one, though. Stay off that one. And then we went a couple airspace all around, infield camping. really down in turn three and four, where it's like Tent City, where those people are legitimately sleeping on the grass, and then it was about 3 inches of water where their sleeping bag was, they didn't care. Yeah. They were turned up. But we go over to where the turn four tunnel is, and there was this nice bus and another in a white tent. Packed. There's probably 20 people there. We roll up, and they're like, hey, they recognize me. And it's, hey, Corey, hey. So apparently this fella, one of these fellas, sent me a DM like 4 minutes before that on Instagram. Hey, man, come on down to Geico Green Lot. Oh, we're hanging out. Up. And I
he
showed
got
up.
It.
No, and the guy was like, holy cow. I can't believe you saw it. And it came that fast. What a gentleman.
Yep. So you're damn right I am.
You're damn right I am. Just coincidence. We just happened to be in that guy's campground. But I had like, there was 20 people there. I had legitimately 20 Chili's gift cards left. And I said, what are y'all doing today? Oh, we're just hanging out. We're all staying here. I said, where are you staying? In the bus.
Oh, gosh. How many folks are in this thing?
How many people are saying? 20 of us.
Oh, boy.
20 people. I am over it with two adults and two kids for 3 days. These people were there for a week.
Imagine 20. What the gray water tank was like in that thing. Golly. Bathroom's closed.
They did have a port-a-john next to there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Hey, those guys might be the penny stackers of the week, bro. That is stacking them deep and selling them cheap in that bus.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to sell them cheap here, too. We had some pit rub boats and woes. Kyle Busch had a bit of a woe himself. So we're going to break that down. Stay tuned, guys. This is Stacking Penny.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, we are back with Stacking Pennies. Pit Road Boats and Woes time. Couple woes. Not very many boats. There was some boats on Sunday because it was a bit wet.
Them guys can buy a boat after they win Daytona 500.
Ooh, a couple of them. Dude. Definitely Willie B can buy a boat.
This is why.
At least one out at Legos.
Well, and his guys, right? This is why we call him. I get the tweets all the time. Everybody on pit road a dog? Are these guys really dogs? Well, how about this? How about them 24 boys? They win the Daytona 500. The biggest race of the year, right?
Yep.
They just came off of being the most dominant pit crew on pit road all year last year.
Six
wins. You know what they do after they win Daytona 500?
What?
Go do the
Xfinity race.
Yeah. No, do they go down to the bars? Go to the ocean deck?
Nope.
No. Do they go do the little slingshot thing?
Nope.
Ride the Ferris wheel?
Nope.
No, they do the Xfinity race.
Because they're dogs.
They go set their pit box up, take pictures, yay, and then back to work.
Yeah.
They didn't even get to enjoy it. Just go back and
put the work in.
Figure out how to do five lug nuts.
You know why?
Because they're dogs.
Because they are.
And that's why they're the dogs this week.
Certified dogs.
Each and every week, we're going to try to highlight. We're going to pick out the fastest stop of the year and the fastest average of the year.
Okay.
We'll pick dogs each week.
Okay.
But that is all excluded at Super Speedways because it's all about the gas, man.
Yes.
So that was
who's
a big
that
week.
Gas dog this
no,
week?
Dude, it's got to be Landon Walker.
Okay.
Landon Walker on the 24. It's so apparent to see when you're a pit crew guy. It's hard to tell when you're a fan, but to watch a clean exchange for a gas man's like art. Because they come in, it's a clean plug, and the car rolls, and you drive right away. Mm. And like you said earlier, it's the difference between you losing the draft with the guys or not. Yeah. And it's a heavy can. They're 90 pounds plus. So when a guy has like a bad plug or the driver doesn't stop exactly when you want where you want him to, it gets so awkward, dude. It's so bad. It's like watching somebody get their ankles broken basketball. It's like,
because it's so top heavy.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh boy. But yeah, it's the driver, the crew chief calling him in the box, and the gas man, and a clean exchange is like a work of art.
So I pull up, I'm walking to the car. I had to do some headrest foam stuff after the duel. I think this must have been on Friday. And there's a stripe from like the top of the left rear tire all the way to the gas hole. I said, who scratched this? My damn car. Who scratched my car? I'm madder than a snake.
Somebody keyed my car.
Somebody keyed it. It was larger. It was much larger than the key. And rewind the tape. Layman drug my quarter panel with his tip.
Yep.
How dare he?
What a gas hole. How dare he do that? But yeah,
are those guys that aggressive with like trying to time it while it's still rolling?
Yeah. I mean, I think your guys are probably younger, right? You probably got a younger.
But they're hungry.
Yeah, hungry. Yeah, that's why. You know what he got? He ate some quarter panel. got right on a platter. Here you go. Quarter panel to you.
Scratched it.
Yeah, so it's tough. You know, like you watch some of the veteran guys kind of wait for the car, but there's metrics. These guys are plugging those things in while you're still moving. That's a negative plug, dog.
Mm.
And, man, but
that's what we love to see. But, you know, a negative plug for a fuel can's good. A negative plug for a tire and a lug nut, not so good.
Oof. Yeah, the A car had a trying day. I heard they even got their ass is chewed out by Richard Childress. So
during a race, always a good thing when your owner's on there.
That's never good. But like right here with the A car, so you're gonna watch. Let's take a look at their stop. So Sebecki jacks it up. They have a little bit of a tough exchange on the left rear, and you'll watch the jackman's head.
We're good.
He looks right at the gas. We're good. Right, so he sees Big Country shaking his head, but
front
he never
tire changer.
Never
we're
checked
not good.
Off on the front. So. They were slow enough on the rear where he didn't even think about checking off on the front. The problem is at Daytona, you have so much rebound in the shock that it doesn't come out on his first pull. So he's got a yank on it. And they obviously don't have what a lot of teams
intercoms.
Are running, the intercom radio. So like this happened to me on the first stop. The left front got
right,
stuck in there.
Yeah.
Right there.
What are you saying?
Right there, the camera's saying, check, 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 check. Right? And that tells us, you know, we got to check off on that or you know, anything to get the attention, whatever you come up with.
So is the nut still in that fella's socket?
Yes. Yeah. Never. They were lucky the tire even got on there.
Yeah.
And the ride heights are so low at Daytona and this tire stuck up in there.
And it's got the camber to the direction to hold it on.
Yeah. Now when you see it come off is when the wheel rubs on the caliper long enough and it cuts it in half and then it just evacuates.
Yeah. That's usually bad.
So, yeah, that was just a number of things that all went together. Obviously, they are not having a fun Tuesday.
I was going to wait, but something really grinds my gears.
Let's hear it.
You were talking about some fella on that pit crew named Big Country?
Yeah.
Andy Petrie called Austin Hill Big Country after his win. Did you hear that?
No.
Is every guy that's taller than 6'1" with a country accent big in country?
I can tell you that the guy that is gassing that A car is a bigger country. That guy, Austin Hill, can hide behind that man.
That guy's
so,
Asian.
So if there is a challenge
for a bigger country,
who wins big country, Austin Hill would just be average country. That's
small
how,
country.
Yeah, but he's won 3 Xfinity races in a row, but very average compared to.
The biggest country.
To the biggest country, so.
That guy grinds my gears. Let's get a little more creative. You know, no more excited. We're fired up. Did you hear me say that on the
I heard you say it. I said on the podcast this week,
I'm not being excited. I'm fired up. People are fired up, too, after
that. Here's what I'm fired up to go to Atlanta and watch another, you know, we finished second there in the last race, but I am ready to get to Vegas and get some competitive pit stops underway. It's all, like I said, it's all been about the gas, man. It's a lot of strategy that comes into this. One more week of speedway racing. Let's get to Vegas and get the show on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Heaters down.
That's all I got.
That's all the pit road boats and woes. We are going to Atlanta. The most interesting pit road that we go to. Now that they moved. So they moved.
The most interesting pit road entry that we go to.
Yeah, sure. Everything sure. That's it's straight. It's a drag strip. Half of a Legends car track. But they moved the commitment cone all the way to almost three quarters of the way down the backstretch because the transition from the new banking to the flat would have been too harsh. It would rip the diffusers off. So you legitimately lose 2.5 to 3 laps if you come down pit road. Meanwhile, the cars all run around. If you just happen to be on the wrong side of that where there's a yellow, your day is over.
Done. Well, we haven't seen it with Blaney. Like that. And we did it the first. I think he was the first one to speed there. What's it? When did they do it? The fall race and not last year, the year before?
No, last fall race. They've only done it once.
Well, either way, it wasn't good.
No.
So, speeding there, not ideal.
But I think you'll see some twos. I think you'll see some no tires.
Is this the week you break through?
I hope. I think we can do it.
Who's on your car this week?
I feel like I would raise my hand and ask NASCAR, hey, what was the reason why we had no practice here? Because we've seen the aging of the surface a little bit, and the cars are starting to drive a little much less forgiving like they were. So we're going like Daytona Daytona at least had some
practice.
So you
feel like it's going to be different?
Yeah.
I mean, we just raced here in the fall.
Yeah, but I think that – so we're going here with a new geometry. It's common geometry for all the cars.
All the cars have to run the same geometry.
Rear geometry.
Oh, okay.
But there's still a lot to be had in aero pitch up and down. There's a lot to be had with obviously spring rates and bars and this and that. And we have zero practice. So a lot of it's going to be how close you are on the simulator and what you brought and hope you brought enough.
Good luck.
Thank you. Hopefully it ain't a woe. But to this week – might be the week, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We're going to answer your hashtag penny for your thoughts questions right after this.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. We're going over some hashtag penny for your thoughts questions on X. Guys, continue to fire those off. We love answering those. Got a couple good ones this week. What we got?
I don't have a name for this one, but I did see one this week. They asked, Ross was coming with a run there.
Yeah.
The end of the race.
Three.
You hesitated. You didn't take it. Why did you not take that run?
That's going to be the one that you think back on when you're 50 years old. I just, at the moment, I felt like I was in a good spot, especially with three to go. I felt like leading that lane too early. I felt like I got wrecked. Especially with as aggressive as Ross had been throughout the course of the day, if there would have been a different Chevy up there, I would have covered it.
It was because of Ross.
And he was just super aggressive. And there was three or four instances where I saw him not pick up certain guys during the race. And all of that you evaluate in probably a 2/10 window, 3/10 window, and you say yay or nay, and I decided to cover the bottom. AJ was pushing me well, and I elected to stay third in line. And in that instance, it worked out because the one crashed. But I could have been in that same position leading the outside lane. Who knows what could have happened. But I can assure you this. I think that's the difference of being not content, but – I knew that riding where I was going to be a good finish, but that was the location and the spot you needed to be to win the race. So I think if I get another shot to do that, I take that run and just hang on and see what happens.
I saw another one. This one's from at Gertnator. The Gertnator. What do you do to stay focused and in the zone on long rain days?
Oh, you don't stay in the zone on rain days. You're the furthest thing out of a zone.
You're just trying out.
Yeah, dude. You can't stay in the zone all the time.
You got to get out of the zone every now and then.
Yeah. You can't be. They call you 3 seconds in the paint. You can't stay in the paint.
You'll be burnt. That's where burnout comes from.
Absolutely. So whether you are, like I said, I went out in the pouring rain, handed out Chili's cards to fans.
Oh, there's a, yeah, so there's another one. What'd you do on Sunday? So we actually got together on Sunday because.
Went to Chili's.
You were, in, well, we went to the Daytona Arts Museum.
That was pretty cool.
It was cool. We didn't get to see nearly enough. There was a planetarium. We went to the planetarium.
I mean, hey, you just hang out with your kids, pretty much.
Bro, there was like this part of every, the world needs to know this, and we need to apologize. If there's anybody listening to this, that was at Daytona Arts Museum. That was in like the section where like the samurai swords were.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it was like all marble and glass, like super echoey. And my kid screamed, and then your kid screamed, and then they both screamed together.
They
like
were trying, they were trying to scream, see who could scream the loudest.
Yes, because it would echo.
It was toe curling.
Shut the whole place down. It was one of those moments where like you like want to put your hood up and just hide. I'm like, sorry, sorry, everybody. But everybody turned around and stared at us like, what the heck?
And also, what day was that?
That was Sunday.
Okay, so Saturday morning was another one. Interesting moment of the week. 8:05. Kids are kind of getting up, and we're like laying around. Full thruster.
Oh, the
Zane and Harvick got some rides in the Thunderbirds, and they weren't.
Bro,
they weren't 10 feet over the grandstands, bro.
The Thunderbirds, when they kept coming by, was crazy.
Oh, dude.
It was like, oh, my goodness.
Because, like, they came by, like, half fuel, you know, like, in the home of the break. Nice, perfect formation. And everybody's like, all right, that was it. Where'd they go? Get in the car a couple minutes later, and they come by full thrust behind you. So you didn't even, you see them coming. And there was some guy 90 degrees straight up Maverick style, bro, carving. But I had another funny story. So long story short, I got an extra pair of gloves when Dale Jr.
I
does
saw that,
that
on
one
the Alpha Vision edit.
So he does once a year. He picks a race. All the drivers go get skeleton gloves, pick your color, and you sign them, and you give them to him, and they auction them off. I had an extra pair of Celsius gloves, so I was like, yeah, I'll wear these things for the truck race because I didn't have an extra pair. Threw them in there. Sean cuts up a sweet edit. Opening shot of that in the truck is like me grabbing on with the skeleton gloves. And sitting there Sunday night at about 8:45 on the couch.
Only the real ones noticed that. Like, I was like, oh, he went with Dale Jr. gloves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Dale Jr. himself calls me up. I'm like, maybe it's important. It's 8:45 at night. That's usually when he calls me. He calls me, you know, every couple months.
Well, he's got kids too. So he puts the kids down and then.
Let me catch up on my calls.
Yep, that's how it is.
And he calls me. He goes, tell me about them gloves you were wearing.
Oh, boy.
I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Dale Jr. Is it okay if I wear these gloves? Hell yeah, it's okay if you wear these gloves. I want you to wear them every week. I was like, you sure? Like, they're kind of your thing, and I only had extra, and, like, I'll only wear them once, and I'll wear them whenever you want to do the fundraiser thing. No, man, they're cool as hell. I've been waiting on somebody to wear them things every week.
That's cool.
And I was like, so you want me to wear them this, like, tomorrow? Yeah, wear them gloves tomorrow. Bring you good luck. So, yeah, I was like, all right, man. Have a good night. See you later.
Yeah, that was always kind of his thing. So for, you know, him to, like, pass
thank you so much, Dale, for allowing me to put skeletons on the back of my gloves.
Well, but you are a student of the sport where you're not just going to go take somebody's stuff.
No. No. I feel like Dale Jr. made skeleton gloves his thing. And he called me to give me permission to wear skeleton gloves.
Hey,
so
cool.
I will take it.
That's cool.
That is pretty damn cool. So I'll be wearing them skeleton gloves.
Let's plug our socials real quick.
All right,
because
guys.
Because that's where we saw that. Because
we got a lot of cool stuff going on. So make sure while you're listening to this, not if you're driving, but if you're on YouTube, just get out your Instagram because you know you spend 3 hours a day scrolling through it and just pull up @_stackandpennies. We have so much Arctic stuff, we can't even give it away every day if we possibly tried. But last week, we've already had one winner. We have a second winner that we're going to announce, whether it's on Sirius, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on audio podcast, whatever it is, we have a winner for the first, really and truly, social media trivia for Arctic right here on Stag and Pennies. And the winner is
Kevin Graham, 1987. Hey. The good news for him, he got it right. See, Charlie Jazombeck in our question. But a little bonus point for him. Might need to throw in a sticker or maybe a hat. He said, also, sweet Flying Squirrels hat. So,
yes, Richmond Flying Squirrels hat I was wearing last week. So, Kevin Graham.
1987. Same year I was born. We're old, man. Congrats.
Congratulations. So, you guys continue to follow along, whether it's on X, whether it's on Instagram. And also, share, rate, review. All the things. But don't go away just yet, because we have a little special rec compilation for you. Everybody loves to talk about, whether it's on the marketing ads, on NASCAR, the commercials, the billboards. They want to talk about how we're gladiators. They want to talk about how we're this or that. And they want to show the wrecks. But they never show the actual melees that happen inside the vehicle. So
that there's an actual human sitting
inside
there.
There's an actual body that was traveling at 200 miles an hour, which hit something very hard, very fast. So one little element about Kevin Harvick going to the booth is he's been a big proponent of this, of showing the drivers and the impacts they take. Might be a little bit morbid, but the cars are super relatively safe, and they've done a lot of hard work with the headrest surrounds and the cage and all this stuff. So we feel pretty good. The broadcast feels pretty good about giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the inside camera during a violent crash as we ride along with Denny Hamlin. Couple headshots, pow, pow, pow. NASCAR's worked pretty hard on the back of that foam to soften that blow behind your head, and it doesn't feel good. You don't get to see much going on out the window, but as you can tell, that 11 FedEx Camry is destroyed. Never good when the wheel's slopping around like that. End of Denny's chances. We're out along here with Ty Gibbs. He's sitting down there. We get some light flicker.
He looks little.
Little fella in that seat. Oh, we're out of driving in a straight downshift through the grass. Where am I going? Backwards. Not good. Oh, door shot. Out.
Kept his hand on the wheel.
Yeah, just driving it. I'm a hands off the wheel guy. That's what I am.
Well, I saw Daniel Suarez in the first one was.
Here we go. Eric Jones riding along, head forward, digging, zoned in. Oh, we're getting. Oh no. Oh, he's driving.
Oh wow. Put a suicide knob on. Jeez. Give up, man.
Just tossing the wheel at it. He's driving that thing for all she's worth.
His glove looked like he was coming off.
He is throwing the wheel so hard his gloves fall off.
Throw in the proverbial white towel.
Give him some Velcro to hold his gloves to his suit. Unfortunate ending for these guys. And we ride along with Joey with a perfect camera out the left side window as we see these six get pushed and hooked. Oh
frick.
No. Joey got hit so hard it knocked the glasses off his face.
He goes to check his shield. And he just, okay.
Okay, helmet's still attached. Hands are on there. Okay, hands off the wheel. This thing's wrecking. Oh, frick. Oh, hit again. Oh, frick.
He did push his glasses down.
And then Ryan, the one that everybody was talking about, right? He's in there sawing on it. Yellow gloves. Big shot. The wheel ripped and grabbed his hand. That is a typical modified move to rip the hand, and you do not want to be on the spokes.
I've done that. I have.
Well, you've actually broken
your wrist. Broken my wrist, and I did the same thing when that happened. So you grab your wrist to make sure it's not broke. Because it hurts so bad, you're like, oh, is it broken? Or is my finger still there? And that's what that was. But it goes to show, I mean, a 70G hit there last year, a 55G hit in the duels, right?
Ugh.
But when you hit hard like that, everything breaks. When you get hit in the wheel and it's not so hard, that's when the wheel gets thrown around. That's the weak point. That's when you get, like, that's when everybody's like, that didn't look that bad. Well.
Yeah, your wrist took the impact.
Yes, because it all, like, the rack wasn't strong enough to break, but it was able to sling it all the way to the right.
To the right.
And your hand gets stuck in the wheel. That's why everybody takes, when you ask, like, when you watch the first one and Suarez just covers up and tucks his thumbs in the belts.
Yeah.
There's another one of Blaney years ago. I think he was still in the 21 at Indy where he let go of the wheel, but when he hit so hard that he's like, pocket of his hand hit the wheel and like got stuck and he's like and he did the same thing like grabbed it and I was like, bro, are you okay? He's like, that one hurt. But that dude, the wheel, when you start getting whipped around like that and getting hit in the back and the front side of the wheel, it just becomes like a weapon in there.
I'm not ashamed to say that I am a belt hugger.
You got it, dude.
When I got right rear hooked in that truck race, I'm not trying to be a hero and drive that thing out. That thing is done for.
How was that view?
I'm a passenger at that point in time. Oh, I was looking at the 17, t- tumbling around doing a pirouette. I'm like, oh boy, that guy's not having a
Hey guys, he's got his truck arms in the bottom hole. Put that in the notes.
Yeah, his track bar is 4 inches of split.
Square oil tank on that thing.
Yeah, that was interesting. It also always makes me just amazed of how light a car can look when it's flipping through the air.
Oh, I thought you were ending up in Lake Lloyd.
Me too. Or in
How do we get in here?
Or in the side of MJ's bus. I was close both ways.
Hey, Michael, since I hit your bus, could you sign a card for me?
I don't have a rookie card like Kurt does. But nonetheless, glad he's there hanging out. And I'm glad you guys are hanging out too. We've had a lot of fun this week, whether it's been working with Chili's, whether it's been on the racetrack, had a lot of success. And we start off the year with top five, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to keep this momentum rolling to Atlanta. And you guys keep this momentum tuning in. Tune into our social media.
Tune in to everything.
YouTube. Been getting a lot of great feedback on that. Check out the Nonsense Garage. We're right here. Cooking it up for you each and every week. Penny Stackers of the Week. I almost forgot.
Let's hear it.
There's two in this room right now. And these guys weathered the storm. They shot the cup race. They shot the Xfinity race, and they drove all night just to be here to produce Stack and Penny's. Round of applause for Sean and Danny.
Yay.
They are the Penny Stackers of the Week.
Sean's a grumpy stacker.
They are the most valuable pennies for the show this week. So shout out to those guys. They were pumped out. Did you see the Bald Eagle video that he made?
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God. I watched it. I just drugged the Bald Eagle back and forth like so seven funny. Times.
Have you ever seen the like where they take a penny and they gave like Abe Lincoln like a they draw
like art
it.
On it, yeah.
That they would put like a mad face on Abe Lincoln and that'd be Sean right now. Running on fumes.
He's literally slept 4 hours in a week and you want to pick on him.
Well, yeah, why not? He's from Jersey. His default mode is mad.
It's like well, he's making some good content that you guys continue to go follow on Instagram @_stagandpennies. Win some Arctic stuff. Good stuff, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Let's go get another top five. Maybe bust into that win column this weekend in Atlanta. Thanks for Stacking Pennies. Goodbye.